morning, everyone. My name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. Welcome, welcome. We are in a series entitled A Place to Belong. You've turned your Bibles today to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. What we're doing in this series is we're really talking about relationships. We're talking about the relationships that you and I need in our lives that help us grow in our relationship with Jesus. I believe everybody here today wants to grow in their relationship with Christ. Everybody here wants spiritual growth to happen in your life. I hope you do. And I believe today God's going to help us. God's going to speak to you today, no matter where you're at in your relationship with God. No matter if this is your first time here to Bethel, your second time, or first time in a long time. My expectation every time I come to church on a Sunday morning is that God is going to talk to me and he's going to speak to you. And so that's encouraging. And he's really going to encourage us today from the life of David. We're looking at the life of David. And what we're finding as we look at this life is we're finding three key relationships that David had. David had relationships that encouraged him. Relationships that called the greatness out of him. We saw that last week when Pastor Richard, he opened this series up, talking about David's relationship with Samuel the prophet. We all need those kind of relationships in our life. People that are going to encourage us. People that are going to call out the greatness in us. Next week, Pastor Richard is going to be talking about David's relationship with Jonathan. How Jonathan was always there for David to strengthen him in David's time of need. And today we're going to focus on the relationship that most of us run from, including myself. So all of us are in the same boat today. What we're going to see today is for David to walk in his destiny, for David to become the man that God had called him to be, he had to have a relationship in his life that would challenge him. Man, that's a cuss word in church. Somebody's going to actually challenge me? I thought people were supposed to be nice in church, not to be challenged. But we're going to find out that David had this relationship with a guy named Nathan. And this guy, Nathan, was not afraid of the king, so much so that he called the sin out in David's life, and it transformed him. 2 Samuel. We're going to start in chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel. So what that simply means is David stayed at home. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. It happened, though, late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And they said, after they inquired about her, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, I am pregnant. It wasn't an excitement, I am pregnant. It was a very downcast, I am pregnant. Let's go to chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in a certain place, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought, and he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. He used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. So that's how some of you guys treat your animals at home, isn't it? Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves what? To die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Here's Nathan the prophet. But Nathan said to him, you are the man. Father, I thank you for your living word today. Thank you for your goodness, God. But I just pray today that you would open up our ears. Holy Spirit, there are so many voices, Lord, that we hear. Most of those voices cause us, God, to run from what we're going to talk about today. Lord, but I pray today that you would allow us to hear your voice clearly. Lord, and that voice would push us, Lord, to the relationships that we need the most that are going to cause us to grow in our relationship with you. We ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here we have David. And really what we discover from this man's life is David had the right people in his life. And they usually always entered in at the right time. And really what it caused David is become the right man of God. And really what we're going to find out today is the kind of relationship that David had with Nathan doesn't happen usually naturally. It doesn't come by luck or it doesn't come by chance. We're going to find that we have to commit ourselves to this kind of relationship. That we have to be intentional about this relationship. So much so that my hope for you is as I talk today and you see what happened to David, that you begin to value this kind of relationship. Because anything that we value, what do? When we value something, we schedule for it. We make time for it. David valued this relationship with Nathan the prophet. And because of it, he was able to get out of the mess that he was in and really begin to continue to walk into what God had for him. This is kind of the big point of the message today, is that God wants to change me, but he uses people to do so. God wants to change me, but he does so through people. Oftentimes we miss this. And so if you have to leave early today, or you don't like what I'm saying, you get up and leave. Well, I want you to know that God wants to change you. But he does so most of the time through people. So the question we have to ask ourselves as we listen to this word today is this: who is my Nathan? Do I have a Nathan in my life? Someone that's willing to challenge me. Someone that's willing to say things to me. Things that I necessarily don't want to hear. Now, David, as we read the story of David, David started out very well. You guys all know pretty much the story of David killing Goliath. I mean, that was a pretty good introduction from what God was going to do in his life. He defeats Goliath. He begins to serve King Saul, so much so that he actually becomes a champion in King Saul's army. He begins to lead the army of Israel. God comes by Samuel, anoints David king. David eventually becomes king, and now he's ruling and reigning. But as king, what we find out is there was a season, we saw this in 2 Samuel chapter 11, there was a season when what? Kings were supposed to go out to battle. But for some reason, David must have been tired. I think he was just being disobedient to what God had told him to do. Disobedience was entering into his heart. And what we find is David being now led by his lust, really lust of the flesh, instead of his love for God. David wakes up, gets off the couch, rubbing the sleep out of his eyes, goes on outside, walks on top of the roof, looks, and there he sees this woman bathing. Here comes the lust of the flesh. David is interested in her. He sends someone after her to find out who she is. They find out that what? That this woman is actually married. She's married to a man named Uriah. Now, what should have happened is when the men came back and told David that this is Uriah's wife, the Bible should have said, well, David sent these men not to get her, but to tell her, hey, you need to stop taking baths on the roof. That's what it should have said. Can you please stop that? Go down and get away from, I can see you. But it doesn't say that, though, does it? It says that David, being led by his lust, called for the woman. Now, what you have to understand is this guy Uriah is an important guy to David. This is not just some joker off the street. Uriah was actually one of David's mighty men, one of his 30 mighty men. When David was stuck in Adullam's cave, running from King Saul, Uriah was one of the men who protected David. Uriah was one of the men who was willing to go down. King Saul's army was laid out. David was seeing King Saul's army. He said, well, why don't you go get me a drink of water? this is one of the men that would rise up and say, David, I'll do whatever it takes to serve you. This is David's boy. But yet he ends up putting this man, Uri, what, on the front line. And not only does Uri get killed, but we have to remember that David had to put an army of soldiers on that front line for Uri to be killed. Uri takes his own, this letter that to Joab that basically was a death sentence to himself. And the note pretty much said, put Uri on the front line so that he may die. What was David? He was trying to cover up his sin. Here we have David. David's a liar. He's an adulterer. He's a murderer. But yet, for some reason, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. That's kind of odd. That should encourage us today. That even though we make mistakes, even though oftentimes the ugly comes out of us, the ugly that we don't want to give mention to, the ugly that oftentimes we don't want to notice in our life, God still does miracles, changes us, and uses us for what he's trying to do in our life. And that's encouraging to me. Oh, so here we go. Now, David, he's caught in this lie. He's killed Uri. And what we're really led to believe is David is not noticing the sin that he has committed. I expect, because she comes to him and tells him, Bathsheba, that she's pregnant, I expect a month has gone by. It takes some time for a woman to notice that she is pregnant. So here we have a month gone by, and what we find out in very last verse in chapter 11, it says, and when the morning was over, David sent and brought her to his house. She became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done, displeased the Lord. Now, I'm thankful, and I'm sure David is too, that the story did not end there. Because he is displeasing to the Lord. But yet, in the very next verse, we find hope. The very next verse, we see God's mercy. And really, what we're about to see is really the gospel being presented to us in the Old Testament. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. And there is the hope, guys, that you and I have. That the Lord, even though David didn't recognize his sin, even though David didn't understand what he had done, God loved him enough to do what? To send someone in his life to begin to confront him, to begin to challenge him. And the Bible says that Nathan did not show up on his own. The Bible tells us that what? The Lord sent Nathan. God placed Nathan in his life, this key relationship, so that he could be challenged, so that he could be reconciled to God and to continue to walk into what God had for him. The reason why God had to send Nathan is because, I'm here to tell you, David would have never chosen Nathan. Never. You have to understand, David was the king of Israel. We have three branches in our government. David was every branch. He was the judge. He was the Supreme Court. Whatever he said went. David would have never chosen Nathan because Nathan was bold enough and strong enough to walk up to David to probably tap him on his shoulder and say, hey, buddy, this is going on. He would have never chosen him. I look at my own life. To be honest with you, I would have never chosen Pastor Richard to be in my life. He's too honest. He is too stinking honest. He is always asking me, champ, how are you? I'm like, man, can we talk about something like golf? Can we talk about sports? No, he's always asking me, hey, Pastor Lane, how you doing? How's D? How's your relationship with the kids? I would have never chosen, much as I love Pastor Richard, as handsome as he is, I would have never chosen him because he's too honest. He is my mirror. Now, he's not the mirror that I like to look at because when I look in the mirror, man, I see nothing but good. I mean, it's like perfection, baby. I don't have any spot, no blemishes. I lie to myself and tell myself I'm not losing my hair. I mean, all of that. But when I look at Pastor Richard, he is a mirror, but he is the proper mirror that I need to have in my life because he represents the image of God for me. He represents Christ's likeness in me. See, I have blind spots, and you do too. And we always look at ourselves differently than everyone else sees us. We deceive ourselves. Pastor Richard knows who Lance really is. He knows my heart. He can tell. I have never lied to him, but if I lied to him, he could tell. Number one, I'm not a good liar. But he would know. Why? Because we have a relationship with one another. See, God placed Pastor Richard in my life. I didn't choose him. We don't choose the Nathans in our life, my friends. God places those relationships because we would never choose them. The people that we choose are people that don't talk about the things that need to be talked about. That's why you don't find those kind of relationships at the bar down the street. You don't find them at your, on your softball team, the hobbies you like to play. Let me tell you where you will find them, right here in the local church. God has placed Nathans right here in this church to challenge you, but in a good way, as we'll see right here in David's life. Because all of us need mirrors that reflect who we really are. This is how we grow. Remember, God changes me, but he does so through who? Through people. I have never heard the audible voice of God, but I hear God all the time through Pastor Richard. All the time. And it's kind of easy to just say, hey, it's just me and God, because I get nervous. Sometimes I don't sin because I know Pastor Richard's going to ask me. Not because I'm scared of God, I'm scared of him. I know he's going to ask. So I'm like, man, I'm not going to do that because Pastor Richard might ask. It's a guardrail in my life. Nathan. David had Nathan. Who's your Nathan? Do you have a Nathan in your life? Have you allowed God to place a Nathan in your life? You don't choose them, but I will tell you what you have to do. You have to choose to listen to them. I can choose not to listen to Pastor Richard. It means I'm deceived. It means I'm blinded by the enemy. It means that there is darkness in my life. But I have chosen to go to Pastor Richard and say, champ, listen, if you see anything in my life, and I want you to tell me, because I know I have blind spots. I'm holding too many things of value, guys. You are too. To allow yourself to continue to walk with these blind spots in your life. I have a family. I have a wife, first of all. I'm responsible for her. She carries my last name. That's scary. That means I am responsible for her. I'm responsible for what she looks like, how she feels. God looks to me as the leader of my home for that. On top of that, I got 5 kids that also carry my last name. I'm holding too much of value. Then I have you. There's too much to lose. Let me tell you, it's the same for you. There's too much for you to lose not to say, God, who is my Nathan? And to invite that person into your life. Somebody say amen to help me here. So here we have Nathan. He comes and he actually confronts David. And he does so through a story. And really in this story is really the gospel. Don't see it at the first. But it really is the good news of what Jesus has done, or will do, I'm sorry, being presented to David. Nathan is very tactful in how he communicates to David. And this is what you're going to find here. If you choose to say, you know what, I feel like the Bethel Community Church is a great place for me or a great place for me and my family, what you're going to find is you're going to find Nathans here that are very tactful. Because a lot of times we hear that word challenge. We think that somebody's going to confront us in a real angry, bitter, beat the Bible on your head kind of voice, trying to ram it in you. But we see Nathan was very tactful in how he dealt with what God exposed, what God said to Nathan about David's sin. He begins to tell a story. He tells a story about a rich man, poor man. This traveler comes to town. The rich man had responsibility to take care of the traveler. But yet, he chose, even though he had a multitude of lambs, what did he do? He chose one of the poor man's lambs. And because of that, it was very upsetting, probably to everyone else around. And we see that it was upsetting to God. And what's interesting about Nathan is he tells the story. David responds, and he responds actually correctly to one thing. David says that this man needs to pay back 4 times as much. That's really a Mosaic law. When Moses wrote the law, when a person stole from somebody, that's pretty much what he did. He had to pay back 4 times. But that was a good judgment that David pronounced. But the second thing that David did was not according to law. David pronounced what? Death upon the rich man. It was never written in the Old Testament law that if someone stole, they would be put to death. See, here we have a guilty man with a guilty conscience. David knows he has committed wrong. And he's holding this guilty conscience, and that guilty conscience has led him to be a champion for justice. See, guilt can play with this in many different ways. Guilt can cause depression in our life, but also can cause a lot of what's called self-righteousness to arise on the inside of us. We know that we've done wrong, and so we become naturally a champion for justice. And this is what David is doing. But Nathan, after David does this, looks at him and says, "You are the man." And what's so interesting about that statement is that was not the introduction that Nathan came with. Think about it. That was the conclusion. You are the man. Because Nathan knew, if I come in and say, "David, you're a liar, you're an adulterer, man, God's mad at you," David would have never had listened to Nathan. See, this is what the gospel does for you and I. God doesn't come into our lives and tells us how bad we are, tells us that we're worms, that we're not worthy to live. He doesn't do that at all, does he? God shows us a picture of what Christ has done for us. Because Nathan wanted David not to receive condemnation. Nathan wanted David to feel the conviction of the Lord. Nathan knew that David was a man after God's own heart. Nathan knew that David wanted to follow God and serve him, do everything that he could. And so he comes to him and tells him, "You are the man." David's heart was softened by the story that Nathan told. And because of that, we see, especially in Psalm 51, we see the greatest prayer of repentance. David repenting for the sin that he had committed. See, friends, when you take this step, here in a minute, Pastor Richard's going to come up. And he's going to talk about taking a step into an environment where you can find friends, where you can actually find your Nathan. Again, you have to value, because whatever you value, you begin to schedule. And you're going to find that the Nathans in this church, they're not going to shame you. They're not going to condemn you. They're going to walk alongside you. Their responsibility is to simply take you to Jesus. That's what Nathans do. Nathans hold us accountable to God first. Listen, if I'm your Nathan in your life, I am not holding you accountable to me. That accountability word, we jack that word up all the time in the church. You are not accountable to me as Pastor Lance. I can't hold your sin. I can't hold your ugliness. I am taking it to Jesus. And I'm taking you with it. Your ugliness, your shame, I'm taking you with it. And I'm presenting you to Christ. That's what Nathans do. They never point to themselves. They always point to Christ. They always point to what God has done for us. You can find those right here at Bethel. See, we have a statement here that we want you to believe, to belong before you believe. That's all right. Some of us have to belong, have to feel comfortable in a place before we begin to believe. A lot of us in this room have questions. I would have questions as well. I mean, this Bible thing can oftentimes be kind of weird. I mean, big fish, eating a man, dude rising from the dead. I mean, is that all true? I mean, it sounds unbelievable. And so we understand there's a process that God wants to do in our life. And these Nathans right here in this church are willing to take you by the hand and help you answer your questions, give you an opportunity to actually grow in your relationship where you can experience God and see that this God, this Jesus, he is real. And he is alive. See, God changes me, and he does so through people. Nathan pointed to God. We see that David, he actually repented. David responded as he was held accountable to God. He actually repented. We find also that the Nathans in our life, they don't hold it just accountable to God. They also help us be vulnerable. The thing about the Nathans at Bethel is we're willing to share our struggles. If there's one thing that Pastor Richard and I have done, and really everybody that stands on this stage and communicates, is we're honest about the ugly in our life. We've been honest about the sin in our life, the mistakes that we have made. We've been honest. Because we know that it's so easy for you to look up here and think, man, they got it all together. And just go ask our wives. It's totally the opposite. We don't. But yet we're here to be honest because we know that there's power in the gospel. That the gospel can change us. But we understand that we need to open up our lives, not just to you, but to other men like Pastor Richard and me. Because why? That helps me grow. Can you be vulnerable? Most of us struggle with this. See, the thing about friends, if we were honest with ourselves, especially the men in the room, most men do not have authentic, godly relationships. We don't, men. Women are better at relationships than you and I are. Therefore, you should be crying out, God, I need help. See, this is why we have these things called community groups, because they're environments, men, safe environments. Now, I'm not saying you're going to walk in there and just expose everything, but you're going to find a Nathan somewhere in that group. A Nathan that you can go to and say, listen, I know I have blind spots in my life. I know I have sin in my life. I'm inviting you into my life. See, it's an invitation. Nathan didn't force his way into David. He was invited. You have to invite this kind of relationship in your life. We're not going to force Nathans upon you. That would be weird. We don't do weird things at Bethel. You have to invite it in and say, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to open up my life. I'm going to allow you to see the ugly, that which I want to hide, but I know it's destroying me. I want you to see it because I want to be healed. I want to be set free. Men, can we say amen? Amen. I remember when my wife and I were going through a very difficult time in our marriage, so much so that we actually saw a professional marriage counselor. A lot of you guys have heard this story, and it was very difficult for me because I'm a very prideful man. If you know me very much, I'm a very competitive man. And so for me to look at myself and think that I am not good at relationships, that was an attack against me. But sure enough, my wife was telling me, honey, she wasn't saying honey. She was calling me other things. It was good things, though. We need help. And so as a smart man, when your wife says, men, you need help, you need to listen. No, I got it. No, you don't. You need help. And so we went to a marriage counselor. I remember sitting there. I was miserable the first three meetings. I did not want to talk. I had a hard heart. Did not want to open up my life. And I remember sitting there, and my wife started to tear up. And I remember I placed my arm around my wife, thinking that I was just trying to comfort her. And this was actually a lady that was doing our marriage counseling. So, men, here I am in this marriage counseling. Didn't want to be there. And top of that, it was a woman doing the counseling. See, I'm honest with you. Men, I didn't like that. Too prideful. And she asked me this weird question. She said, Lance, she said, why do you put your arm around your wife? I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. She's my wife. I'm trying to comfort her. I'm trying to, you know, it's all right. And she gave me the weirdest homework. She said, I want you to go home. She says, you say you're a pastor, so you must pray. I want you to go home. And I want you to ask God all this week why you put your arm around your wife. You're talking about just feeling like that is the dumbest question ever. So I get home. Again, I'm trying to do the best that I can. And I say, God, I know this is dumb. This is stupid. But she told me to ask. And I want to be humble because I know she's going to ask me when I get back, you know, did you do it? So I said, Lord, why do I put my arm around my wife? And I'll never forget, Holy Spirit, he spoke to me. He said, Lance, you are so afraid. You're so afraid of your wife's emotions. He said, you cannot go there with her. See, what I was doing, I was trying to stop everything. Oh, it's okay. No, it's all right. You don't need to cry. No, it's okay. We got it. Stop. Because I was afraid of it. I couldn't handle her emotions. I'm such a control freak. I didn't know what to do, so I just grab her and thinking, hope, maybe I grab her, it will help. And I really found out. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. See, God changes me. He changes us. But what does he do? He does so through people. I didn't know it, but her name was Kina. Kina was a Nathan in my life. She didn't care who I was. She didn't care what I did. She was going to challenge me. And let me tell you something. My wife will tell you, baby, I think I have done so much better to try to go there with my wife. Not try to, because that's what we do, man. We try to shut it down, so it'll be all right, sweep it under the rug. And you're killing your wife by doing so. What she thinks is my emotions don't matter. She tells you that, but you're not hearing it. And I'm able now, I'm doing a little better, to go there with my wife. But what had to happen? I had to put myself in an uncomfortable environment, in an environment maybe where you don't know everybody. I didn't know her, didn't know anything about her. You're not going to know some of these people when you talk. Come on up here, Pastor Richard, I'll be quiet. You might not know everybody in this group, but I had to take a step. I had to put myself in an uncomfortable environment, maybe in an uncomfortable situation, and I had to ask God, God, will you change me? I had to realize God changed, but he does so through people. See, I had to become vulnerable. I had to become vulnerable. Who's your Nathan? Do you have a Nathan in your life? And what we also see from David is Nathan brought David. He reconciled him back to God. Again, Psalm 51 talks about the greatest prayer of repentance. What's the one thing that keeps us from this kind of relationship? Really, two things. It's pride. And what pride always does is it isolates us. What does the Bible say, Pastor Richard? A man who isolates himself.
He seeks his own desires.
Seeks his own desires. That is the enemy's greatest weapon, especially for the men in this room. Men, he wants to isolate you. Because again, you're not going to find this relationship at your job. You're not going to find it anywhere else but right here in the local church. Who is your Nathan? God changes us, but he does so through people. Amen. Pastor Richard here is about to talk about our community groups. My encouragement to you today is let's take a step. Let's connect. Let's put ourselves in an environment where Nathan can arise for us. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you that, Lord, we learned so much from the life of David. Lord, each of us, we need this relationship. But most of us run from it, including myself. But I pray today that you would allow us to value this type of relationship. Lord, that you would let Nathans arise for us, that would be able to see the blind spots, but gently begin to bring and challenge us, to bring that correction, to bring that challenge that we need that causes us to grow. Father, we thank you for these groups. We thank you for these group leaders we're about to talk about. I just pray you would bless these groups, and each of us in this room would make it, we would schedule it and commit to it. In Jesus' name,